You know, my wife and I, we've been married 8 years. And of course, everything's open. We don't hide anything from each other. First of all, I've always been a huge spender. So just in these last year, we decided, hey, we got to get on the budget, because my wife, she's a saver and I'm a spender. So I was spending money, and she's like, you know, we have to be obedient with what God has given us. And I totally agree to that.
All right. We're going to find out more from Heath, what's going on in their marriage. Do you ever have what we might refer to as money wars in your marriage? Like he said, one's a spender, one's a saver. If you have two savers, that kind of works, right? You get kind of boring in life. But on the other hand, it may be you got two spenders, and that can be really problematic. And then when you have one of each, should balance out, but sometimes there's a war in the process. Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. As we're focusing on money today and marriage and how to be intentional with money, we're going to get back to Heath's call in just a moment. Love to have you join in. If you have a comment you'd like to share today on our comment line, you can call 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717, and share what you've learned, one thing that's made a difference in your marriage as you've worked with money and try to be intentional. Speaking of marriage, now that we are back in the saddle with a new week to focus what's coming up for this fall, I want you to know about the upcoming Intentional Love Marriage Date Night. And we have two nights in the Phoenix area, Mesa and Glendale, November 8 and 9. And then in Tucson on November the 16th, a Saturday night. And then in the spring in Chattanooga. This is a night where we're going to laugh. We're going to learn together. We're going to celebrate marriage. We're going to see marriages transformed. We're going to see good marriages get better. We're going to see troubled marriages, maybe for the first time, start to grow some intimacy in the relationship. We'd love to have you be a part of this evening. Send some friends, bring some friends, make it a great experience. The Intentional Love Marriage Date Nights in Phoenix, that's Glendale and Mesa, November 8 and 9, Tucson, November 16. Get your tickets today at theintentionallife.com.
This is an area that my husband and I really, really struggle with as far as tithing. And the whole reason of him not wanting to join the church that I was a part of when we got married was because he said that they were always looking to dig into your pockets, as he said. I believe that I need to be faithful to my husband, and he needs to be the spiritual leader in our family. So I don't argue with him about the fact that we don't tithe 10%. I didn't know if you had anything that you might be able to say to that when you have a spouse who is a good person, is a Christian, but they just don't see the tithing principle the same way that you see it.
Well, that's a big issue, and we get a lot of questions over the years on that. And I've always come to the conclusion that God doesn't need our money. Our tithing is an act of worship to Him. We not only rob God, as we use that term, but more, I think we also rob ourselves of the act of worship. And so in a marriage where you're not on the same page, never go behind the back of your spouse. I never recommend that, ever, ever, ever. God doesn't need you to do that for Him. He needs to be mutually submissive one to another. And if you can't agree and your spouse doesn't agree, then how about going to your spouse and say, hey, would you allow me as a follower of Christ that we can test this over the next 6 months, over the next year, allow us to tithe and see what God does in our marriage? Would you allow us to as a couple to do this for the next year and see through prayer what God will do? And really ask God to do something special. And then you as a follower of Christ in that marriage to really submit to be a good manager, a good leader of finance, and pray and see what God does. All right, let's go to Richard in, listens in Arizona. Hi, Richard.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, good. What's your take on this thing with money and marriage?
You know, like you were saying before, they have to be on the same page. My wife and I have been married for almost 40 years now, and we are on the same page. We do have separate checking accounts for various reasons. We do have a separate business account, and I do make more money than she does. But the only thing is, we know where our responsibilities lie.
Right.
One, is to God. We tithe. We give the first thing we do is tithe, because God wants our first fruits. And then after that, we pay whatever bills, you know, that we say we're going to pay.
Right.
Then if we're going to make a big purchases, we talk to each other. Like, say, for instance, if we're going to buy a car, it takes us about 2 years to buy a car. I kid you not. The last
No, I hear you.
We pray about it. Sometimes yes, no, no, yes, yes, no. And then all of a sudden, when God says, okay, it's time to buy that car you've been praying about, then all of a sudden everything goes like clockwork.
Yeah.
So we don't go rush out, buy a car, and have buyer's remorse.
So you guys are on the same page, Richard. You're on the same page. When I talk about separate accounts, to me it makes no difference if you have multiple accounts and where you put it. That's managing your finances. Where I'm concerned for couples is when there's an attitude that says it's mine and I can spend what I want the way I want. I'm not accountable to you, and I'll do what I want. That kind of an attitude will permeate the marriage, and I believe become a weakening of the foundation of a strong marriage. And so what
right.
I hear you saying is what I hear you guys saying is you are on the same page. You have agreement. You talk about the stuff that's important, but it's easier and it's more practical to manage it in different accounts.
Yes, truly it is. And our books are open to one another.
I mean, there you go.
If she wants to look at my checking account, here you go. If I want to check at hers, you know, here we go. So our books are open to one another.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's God's intention. You know, if the one fleshing thing that we read about in Genesis 2:24, that for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh, that's not just sexual. That's the whole intention of two people becoming one and sharing the things that are important. And, boy, money's certainly a part of that. All right, good for you. Thank you for your call today, Richard. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a good day,
Doc. You too. Let me get Heath on the line in Tennessee. Heath, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's going on with money in your marriage?
Well, first of all, you know, my wife and I, we've been married 8 years. And, of course, everything's open. We don't hide anything from each other. You know, and I know things work, you know, different for different families. You know, whatever works for you is great. But for us, well, first of all, I've always been a huge spender. So, just in these last year, we decided, hey, we got to get on the budget, because my wife, she's a saver and I'm a spender. So I was spending money, and she's like, you know, we have to be obedient with what God has given us. And I totally agree to that. So what we started doing is just being on a budget. And, you know, we did the envelope system, which keeps me accountable. It helps us manage our money, you know, and like I said from the get-go, you know, as far as your comments, I believe totally, too, that everything should be out on the table. I don't think that I should make my money. I'm going to spend it the way I do, and you shouldn't have any say-so in it and that kind of thing. I don't believe that's what God called us to do. I think that as a marriage, when you say I do, everything becomes one, whether that's, you know, whatever it may be in your life, that becomes, you know, you become one. I just think that, you know, having everything out there on the table is just good for your marriage. But having all that said, getting on this budget has really, God has just blessed us in so many ways. I think that if we are intentional with saving, God sees that, and just, you know, he's faithful to that, and he just does it.
Absolutely. And every marriage is, every couple, Heath, is going to do this a little uniquely for their own personalities. I don't think a cookie cutter approach to this will be better than another cookie cutter approach. However, there are principles, and if we violate the principles, we're going to get bit. And in fact, in a moment, I'm going to give you some of the principles that we have tried to live by, and I have seen work in the lives of people that I have helped over the years to be intentional in this area of their life. And it can work for you, too. Come join us. Tell me, what is it that you maybe wrestle with in your marriage, you and your spouse? Is it something that is a point of contention and disagreement? And how do you deal with that? Or maybe you're stuck. I'll share some principles that will work in just a minute. You can join us, 888-888-1717.
Dr. Carlson, my name is William Jackson. My wife and I have only been married for a few weeks, and I wanted to do certain things with the finances. I logically wanted to attack a certain situation. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and gave me to know that that's a need of hers, and that I was really hurting her by attempting to take over that area of our relationship. So naturally, I relented and said, okay, you know what? Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do, and that's how we'll go with it. God bless you, and you have a great day. Bye.
As long as what you say go do is what you guys should be doing, it'll work. I still think two heads are better than one when it comes to talking these things through. You know, we write the intentionals. These are my top 10 list on various topics. We have it on marriage. We have it on finance. We have it on work relationships and so on. And I wrote the top 10 for money and marriage. I mentioned some of them. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. If you don't need it, leave it. If you can't agree, don't proceed. These principles work. Don't rob God. That's tithing. And then number five is set aside enough for the future. If you take 10 or 15% of what you make when you're young and you start saving that every month consistently over an extended period of time, that becomes a big number down the road. Now, the longer you wait, the higher that percentage is going to have to be to get to the same place. If you run the numbers on a calculator, you'll see that time and the percentage of return on the investment, wherever you're putting it, is huge. Makes a big difference. Time is one of your greatest friends. So whatever age you are, get started. But if you don't do this intentionally, it won't happen. And don't think it's next year, next week, next month. If you can start to live, we talk about 10-10-80, tithing 10, at least 10% saving, and living on 80%, you do that over an extended period of time, many years, you're going to be in good shape. And of course, number six, set aside an emergency fund if you haven't already done so. Do it immediately. Get started. Set aside some money. You guys should have some amount. I know some recommend $1,000, whatever it is, but some amount. We focus on $1,000 to say we've set that aside when the refrigerator breaks or when the tires need to be replaced or whatever comes up in life. Number seven of the intentional, spend less than you earn. Boy, that's a simple principle, isn't it? Spend less than you earn over an extended period of time. Number eight, avoid impulsive buying. You know, if you're the type of person, you see it, you want it, you buy it. Spend on a priority basis only. Use a spending plan. The research showing that if you're buying a big purchase, let's say you're going out buying a car, it's not the good idea on that same day to go out and try to buy something like a refrigerator, because the big purchase sort of overshadows the thought that, hey, spending $500 or $1,000 or whatever on some other purchase doesn't seem like that much money. So be very intentional when you go shopping. Don't do it on an impulsive basis. Boy, I believe these next two. Don't try to buy your child's happiness or cooperation. Listen, you have an opportunity to use money to teach your children through allowances how to spend money, how to manage money by holding them accountable to the money that they're given or earn. And then number 10, I threw this one in as a last thought because I believe this. And I've seen it. Of course, it's biblical. Don't lend money to family members or friends and expect to ever see it again. Well, I can't tell you the number of people I've talked to who said, man, my relationship with my brother or my sister or family member has been damaged. They ask us for $1,000 and they promised to pay it back and they didn't or couldn't or whatever, and now the relationship is a mess. If they ask for it and you want to give it to it, give it to them. Because unrealistic expectations will destroy your relationship. I can promise you that. 888-888-1717. And so we see on one extreme people whose emotions have been stuffed. They've not learned how to express them. Maybe they grew up in a restrictive environment. Maybe even in church they were told that their emotions are not healthy, something that should be held down. On the other extreme, and this is the ones we tend to see so often, are when emotions are just not regulated at all. And it can turn into anger, it can turn into passive aggressiveness, it can turn into abuse, and many of the things that destroy relationships. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month on managing your emotions. And by the way, this is the last day that we can make available this teaching. Members, those of you who support the Ministry of Intentional Living every month, you signed up to receive the teaching. It's coming your way automatically. You've already received it. But this is the last opportunity for new members to join us and to receive it this month. So, by the way, those of you who called during our special week last week and you joined, you're automatic, you'll be receiving it. But for anyone that missed out, this is an opportunity to do so at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, where you can give safe and securely. And I just want to say how much I do appreciate all of you who prayed for the ministry, prayed for us during our special Share-a-thon time, gave so faithfully. We had about 500 people who responded during the week, and that was very special. I want to say thanks to you for doing that. Today, we're talking about money in marriage. Money should be a blessing. It's a gift from God, but sometimes it can become very problematic. And when it is, your emotions can get hijacked, for sure. And so I hope today you're learning one thing, and that's the question. What one thing are you going to apply from today's program to your life and to your marriage that can make a difference? I hope you will, and I hope you'll let us know what it is.
Intentional love can transform a marriage. It can take a struggling marriage and make it strong. It can make a good marriage even better. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson.
Thousands of people are discovering the power of intentional living, each with their own success stories. Your story and your success starts with you right now.
The Intentional Love Marriage Date Night is November 8th and 9th in Mesa and Glendale, and November 16th in Tucson. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Imagine the feeling of getting away to get close to God's creation on the 7-day Intentional Living Alaska Cruise. Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson. You'll experience what feels like a moving picture postcard as we cruise the Inside Passage by the magnificent Hubbard Glacier, waterfalls, rainforests, and unique wildlife. You'll enjoy world-class food and cruise accommodations, and while at sea, you'll be spiritually strengthened during times of worship, and you'll discover the power of intentional living in Christ to bring hope and peace and joy to your life and family. Join my wife Donna and me and other special guests June 28th through July 5th, 2020 on the Intentional Living Alaska Cruise. Information is available at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, it's producer Rob for Intentional Living. If you hear something on the program today and think, wow, I wished I could hear that later, you can. In fact, most nights before bedtime when things settle down, I pull out the iPhone and listen to that day's Intentional Living program on iTunes. And if you don't have an iPhone, just go to your smartphone's app store and download the Intentional Living app for free. And voila, you can hear any program on demand right there on your smartphone or on your tablet. And if you're at your laptop or desktop computer, head over to theintentionallife.com and then to Program Highlights, and you can access all the archived Intentional Living programs searchable by title and keyword. It's just one more way to help you live an intentional life in Christ. The website again, theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. We're talking money today. And in particular, how to be intentional with your money. It is a reflection. It's a spiritual thing. I think talking about money is way more than just getting out of debt. How do you do that? You spend less than you make over an extended period of time and you get out of debt. The intentionals I just gave you, these 10 things, you do those and you'll get out of debt. So it's not the functional things. There's a lot of information available, books and tapes and programs and all sorts of things on how to get out of debt. The issue is your attitude and a decision about who owns this stuff. I think it's a belief issue. I think it's a value issue. If I see it as my stuff, it's about me, That's kind of the child approach of mine, 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 you know. If I take that approach, I'm going to be in trouble financially. But if I take the approach, this is God's, I'm a steward, I have a responsibility to manage this correctly, changes everything, doesn't it? Really does. Okay, Ann is on the line. Ann, welcome to Intentional Living Center.
Thank you.
We'll go right ahead. What's your take on this topic today?
Well, I'm just listening to your message right now indicating, you know, that we are to be stewards of God's money.
Right.
And I am newly married about 4 years into the marriage and never have believed in prenuptials. So I came into the marriage, no holds barred, and, you know, it's ours. And we've always had all our finances together. However, 2 years into the marriage, I found out that some of those monies were being mismanaged by him. We had separate accounts of savings each, which was supposed to kind of be our fun money to be able to buy each other surprises and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I come to find out that much of the money that he had, which I had personally given him when I came into the marriage, was being used on drugs.
Mm.
Therefore, I asked him to sign off, because we are a community property state, on any monies that belonged to me prior to coming into the marriage, which he did. Now, on another note, if things arise and we need it, I do take from that money as I control it. But I have some guilt about it, again, because I agree with what you said. Everything should be ours. But if I am a good steward of what God has blessed me with, I no longer work. He's the sole breadwinner.
Now, does he understand why you've done this and your concern?
Yes, he does.
Okay. So your guilt is that you're doing this for the, if I hear you right, is for the benefit of both of you. Otherwise, you're concerned that all this money would be gone.
Correct. You know, and so.
And he willingly signed off and said, it sounds like he's trusting you to do this.
Well, I think at the time that he signed off on it, he was running fear, thinking I was going to leave. Because I actually thought about it. And then the more I, you know, stayed close to God and in prayer, I knew that I really loved this man and I was committed to this relationship.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like this drug is done all the time. It's recreational here and there, but nonetheless, it's against my value system.
And what I hear you saying, though, is when this is done, this is when there's overspending, there's a lack of management of money on his part, and you've been concerned about that, and that's why you set up this arrangement.
Right. Yeah. And I am the one who takes care of all finances in the home, so it's like I'm monitoring all the time, every little penny that's coming in, out, whatever, and I don't see him do it anymore, because when he exhausted that savings, he asked for more, and at that point is when I found out what was going on.
Yeah. All right. So how would you characterize your marriage at this point? Good, bad, or?
It's strained.
Okay.
It's strained, and I think because I'm still working on the I forgive you, you know, and I have, I think, forgiven the fact that this is what he does. I can't control that.
Well, I think, Ann, here's my take on money. Money is usually a symptom of either good or bad. It's not the problem itself. People say money is the problem. Well, money's not the problem. Money is just money. It just is what it is. You got a little, you got a lot. I've talked to people with lots of money and they have a mess. I talk to people with very little and they're happy as they can be because they're managing it and it's a positive thing. Like I said at the beginning, it's not the number, it's the attitude. And so I would respond this way to you. I think if you're saying, hey, I've got to be protective of the money, and I've had to set up something to protect us, myself, and our marriage, and so on. I would see that more as a symptom to say, what in the world's going on in our marriage? And focus on how can we have such an intimate marriage, emotionally, spiritually, sexually. You see, intimacy is across a scope of many issues, including finance. And whenever you see a problem in one area, you know that's a symptom of something else going on. So I'd get intentional about the depth of your marriage and your relationship and not just money, okay? All right. Sorry, Ann, that you guys are facing that in your marriage. The intentionals, I went through them earlier in the program. I want you to know they're available for you on our website. All you have to do is come on over to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on the inspiration tab there, drop down to the intentionals. They're there for you. I'd like to know your take on it. You know, we kind of started talking about shared accounts and all that. What works or doesn't work for you? How has God blessed you by obedience, taking an attitude of stewardship and tithing and so on? I would love to hear about it, read about it. Just come to theintentionallife.com and get the Facebook there as well. Do this one thing when you're disappointed in life. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. The scripture says that a hope deferred makes the heart sick, and some of you had hopes and now you're disappointed because they haven't turned out. So can I encourage you to clarify and adjust your expectations or be intentional to change your present situation if that's possible? Life has both mountaintops and valley experiences. But if you're in the valley right now and those hopes and expectations that you once had are not coming to reality, can I encourage you not to get stuck? Don't stay there. Look at things from a new perspective. Look at it from the perspective of God. See what things could be in the future. Pray and invest your life in others. When you do those things, that's intentional living.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
And you know what? It'll come automatically every day, Monday through Friday, right to your email box. And thank you for signing up today and getting on the list. We love sending it to you. You know, today we've been talking about marriage and working with couples over the years. Money can be an area where it either is an encouragement, there's intimacy financially in the marriage, there's agreement, or there can be disagreement and stress. And I hope today you've gotten one thing that you can apply and will apply to your marriage. One thing we'll promise to do is to pray for you. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life through intentional living. A couple of things that are coming up. Speaking of marriage, I mentioned the Intentional Love Marriage Date Nights in Phoenix and in Tucson in November, November 8, 9, and 16. In the Phoenix area, November 8 and 9, Friday, Saturday night. And then in Tucson on November 16th, a Saturday night. And then in Chattanooga, Tennessee, coming up in the spring. They're going to be a time of celebrating marriage, laughing, learning. We have a lot of fun. Looking forward to it a whole lot. Also, the Intentional Love Cruise. It's the Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska coming up next June, 7 days, cruising Alaska and learning about intentional living. It's going to be a great time. Information on our events, information to help you in intentional living, including our free 4-part video series on the Intentional Living Challenge, available at theintentionallife.com. See you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.